In our study, you'll remember in the Gospel of John, we're doing, and going back a moment, a space, after the Pharisees, the Jews, wanted to know a sign. They wanted a sign to show why he had authority to tear the temple court apart. And thus, he gave them a sign. Remember now, Jesus answered, verse 19, 2 and 19, and said unto them, destroy this temple, that remember Herod has been building it, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? So you're going to take something that Herod and the people have been working on for 46 years. And are you going to go and tear that down in 3 days? But, verse 21, he spake of the temple of his body. Now he told them of his resurrection. Remember now, he's in a setting in the Passover in Jerusalem where many, many, many miracles taking place. Verse 23, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name, and when they saw the miracles which he did, not only the temple, but which he did all by himself, and no one challenged him, he had great authority and power. And they all recognized it, but they didn't know how to handle it. So now here he's going to tell them in the very beginning of his ministry, I'm going to rise again. I'm going to destroy, you're going to die, I'm going to rise again. And he said that. Now, keep in mind, if you would, that he, having said that, they're going to, all the way through the almost three and a half years, they're going to keep bringing it up, what he said. Of all the things he said, this is what he said. In 3 days I will rise again. And that's what they remembered. Of all the things he was doing, miracles, signs, wonders, healings, all kinds of things to get you to pay attention to him, get them to pay attention. Now, having said that, so his public ministry was very, 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 very public. He communicated, and he carried the communication, all that he did, all the way through the time of his public ministry, was very public. For the most part, very, very public. Now, having said that, so now come, if you would, over in, before we do that, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And let me remind myself and you that on his way, he did a number of things and said a number of things that all related to the same event. In 3 days, I will rise again. Matthew chapter 16, you remember, verse 20, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. He's going to say it. Now, they aren't going to say anything. He told them to be quiet because they didn't understand it. And to say and to talk about what he had said from ignorance is not very profitable. So he said, be quiet. Don't tell anybody. You aren't in the place to tell anybody, to make it understandable about a great God doing something very, very wonderful. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, over in your Bible, if you would, to Matthew chapter 21, you're right next door. And in Matthew chapter 21, This is his entrance into Jerusalem the last week, the week of his crucifixion. And he entered the city. We did this, tried to do this last Sunday. And in the process, he's coming in, riding on the colt, the foal of an ass, a young male donkey. The mother is following the donkey. And he's riding on a new donkey, male donkey, into Jerusalem. And the 2.7 or more, or minus, plus or minus people, million people in Jerusalem at the time. Wow, Passover. They're all there, more or less. And in the process of that, it's very public. So he started very publicly. He comes in very publicly. And he comes in riding, and thus all the city is going to be talking about him. The king cometh riding upon the colt of an ass. The king. Now, so the king. He's the king. He has shown signs, wonders, powers, healing, all kinds of things. And now he's coming into the city. And having come into the city, they wonder, verse 10, they want to know, the leadership especially, the multitudes are all excited. And we shared, be careful you don't make decisions when you're all excited. Be slow, back off. They're all excited without any understanding. It's not going to work. They're going to crucify him. Now, so then, who is this? Verse 10, who is this? And then he goes and tears the temple court apart again, driving out money changers and everyone. They went right back to what they were doing, and he drives them all out. That's very public. Very public entrance. He shows his power and his authority very publicly. Wow. But then with all of that, he ends up going to trial, the garden, and the Roman soldiers, the Jewish soldiers came, as it were. They all came and took him in the night. And took him, as he were, to trial, very private trial, public but private, not public, it's early in the morning. And in the process of all the trials, before Pontius Pilate and Herod, etc., wow. But not so public, but there. So all the authorities are very much into this, without any question. They had to get up early to go to the trial. Couldn't stay in bed. Had to be up for this. Probably didn't even go to bed that night, my guess. So now, here they all are, busy, and the king. And the king is being put on trial. The king is going to go to the cross. The Lamb. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And that was very public. John the Baptist, that was his ministry. And he made it clear, this is the one. So all the way through, very public, very clear. So now, having said that, as he goes to the cross, the system has taken note in what way? Well, we're all excited about the king. We're all excited about his power and his authority. And the next thing you know, the Roman soldiers, the Jews, they come and take him prisoner, as it were, take him to trial. And I thought he was a king, had power and authority. And he did, he does. But all of a sudden, lowly humans, and they came with a lot of soldiers. And remember when he spoke, when he came, it did, and they all fell down. That should have impressed them. Here's all the soldiers and dignitaries, and they all fell on the ground. God just went, psh, they all went down. Then they get up again, and they took him prisoner to trial. Now, well, he's just like other kings and people. he's the system. The system always wins. Everyone does whatever and try to do it right, and the system ends up closing it down, shutting it down. So now, having said that, in Rome and the Jewish people had all were together on this, and so the king, the lamb, going trial, the cross. Is he a prophet? The prophet? Isn't a king? Whatever a king was, that would happen to a king. The prophet. He's gone the way of all other Jewish prophets. They all die, rejected, stoned. Who cares about a prophet? We've all put Isaiah and Jeremiah. John the Baptist is gone. They're all gone. So, Lord, whatever happened to your marvelous display? Well, it all disappeared. It all disappeared. And the crowd assumed, and the ball game was over. The vision of the Messiah is all gone. All gone. Yeah. Huh. Oh, well. I would think now, in all of his history, that the crowd would be waiting for that huge event that would be as none other in all of history. Now, having said that, over if you would please. So then by the way, to add to that, just so you catch it, here are he's crucified. And remember they said, do you want Barabbas or the Christ? And they chose what? Barabbas. And Barabbas is set free. One of them set free. So here are the three of them. A criminal, and the Lord. He's among common people. He's dying a terrible Roman death. Only Romans didn't die on the cross. Just other people. You can't be a Roman citizen and die on the cross. The terrible death. He's just ordinary. Look at him. He's with the common prisoners, the common people, the bad guys. Wow. All gone. All gone. All of that marvelous history down the tubes. Matthew chapter 27. And in Matthew 27, I'm trying to give you a little sense, if you could be there, and trying to rehearse history a bit, that you could have a sense. And you need to have a sense of this. Matthew chapter 27. If you were there, and you were a Jew, a person that would be sensitive to God, hopefully, or a Gentile. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 51. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, in two, from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. So, of different earthquakes, there's two or three of them. Here's one of them, earthquake, you know. And that sort of gets you to pay attention, rocks renting and moving. Wow. But then, here in this temple of Herod, 46 years in building, and they built, and the veil is the holy place in the temple, and that's a little bigger, and then you go in the Holy of Holies, that's where the ark and the mercy seat were kept in that second section. And the curtain is in between. And you remember the curtain. It didn't tear up like that. It tore from the top. Now, why is that significant? God, why didn't you let it be torn another way? Because God said, man isn't tearing that curtain. I am. And therefore, now the curtain, you remember, Jewish historians said what? Well, the curtain was so thick together that if they put horses, a team of horses over here, and a team of horses over here, and you tied part of the curtain to the horses, and you had them each go in different apart to pull the curtain apart from the bottom. They couldn't pull it apart. It was too strong. God ripped it from the top to the bottom. And you know from Hebrews and all of that 10, what did God do? The way into the holiest of all, that they could only go in, the high priest, once a year on the Day of Atonement. The way was open, a new and living way, by way of the Lamb of God, who was the perfect sacrifice, the perfect Savior. He did the perfect saving work to open the way to God from top to bottom. That would have impressed somebody. That would impress me. I'm telling you, I'd be impressed. I'd have to say, wow. Now, having said that, and the earthquakes, and then, verse 52, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. So God allowed a resurrection, but not till he is resurrected. Verse 53, and came out of the graves after his resurrection. He is the first to rise. No one anywhere, anyhow, rises ahead of him. He makes possible all resurrection. And no one goes ahead of him. But these are coming out after his resurrection to bear witness. And you can just imagine if they went up and down, and use your imagination, and that's all we can do because we weren't there. And you were living in Jerusalem, and Aunt Bess came to see you. Aunt Bess passed through the evening, passed through the dining room table, passed while you were sleeping, where you opened your eyes, and there was Uncle Tom. I mean, I have to tell you, I'm impressed. Something's happening. You wouldn't have known because they were resurrected. But wow, what's happening? Must be a horror film. Now, picking up, please, with that in mind, keeping that forefront in front of you. And so there, and by the way, might as well go over, you're in this right place, verse 57, 27, 57. And when the evening was come, remember Passover, 3 o'clock, hanging on the cross, was come, and there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. And he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Now, this is very personal. And the only other fellow with him is Nicodemus. So they got two people coming. Everything's all over. Quiet. Oh, no. You're only in the fourth day. You haven't even hit the, it gets a 7-day feast of unleavened bread. And on the fourth day of that feast, Sunday, the feast is still going after he's resurrected. The crowd's still there. It's big time. He's risen amidst the crowd, you see. But the crowd isn't going to be exposed to him. Why not? For a very good reason, you'll see. Now, so Joseph of Arimathea, a very rich man, comes and takes and offers his tomb, wants the body, and verse 50, 59, and when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. He wrapped the body tight, just like Lazarus, going to be wrapped up. Only Lazarus is prepared, and our Lord isn't. It's after all, because at 6 o'clock you begin the Passover. That's a holy day. It's a most holy day. It's going to be a Sabbath after that, holy day, and then Sabbath. That's a holy day. You can't buy anything. You can't buy spices. You can't do anything. It's the most holy day. It's the Passover day. Wow. So everyone sits tight, and all you do is get the body and wrap it up quickly to put in the open tomb, the tomb where the Joseph of Arimathea hid. You wrap the body up. And thus, in verse 60, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled the great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. Now, that's a great big stone, and some said, I don't know how they did it, doesn't matter. It said it weighed a big round stone. You want to think a square stone. It's a round stone, like a wheel. And it would weigh 8,000 pounds, according to the figuring. That's a pretty good size rock. And thus, there it is, blocking the entrance. And so we have that. That's very private, though. Not a whole lot of publicity here. Very quiet, very quiet. A few people are on top. But it's all over. The king crucified. So there he is. And we're on to celebrating. It's the Feast of First Fruits, the First Fruits, etc. And here we are, I should say, First Fruits. And in the process, a Feast of Unleavened Bread. And in the process. Now, over if you would, please. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And if I may, please, now remember now, they're going, looking, coming, and in chapter 23 of Luke, verse 55, and the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how this body was laid. And they returned and repaired spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day. I mean, because you can't go. You can't do anything. Can't Sabbath. You can't do it. Rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. And so here they are resting. And in the process, now they're resting. They put them in the tomb, put the rock there. Now, what do we want to know? We want to know something else that's very helpful, because, I don't know, after all, here we are, gathered together, not on the Sabbath day. We're gathered together the first day of the week. And every Sunday, the first day of the week, calendar, B.C., A.D., first day of every week of the week, we celebrate the Christ rose again on the third day. And that's what you're doing. That's why you're here. Because of Easter. Because of the third day. Not the seventh day. This is the day. Why? Most people don't even know why. They just do it. There had to be something dramatic. Because remember now, without drifting off here, remember the Jewish community of believers. And a lot of them, not a whole lot, but a whole lot. 5,000, one shot. Wow. The believers, Jewish. They stopped going to the synagogue Saturday. And the next week, remember, the Lord meets with them on which nights? Do you remember the first night was Sunday night? And he waited a week, 8 days, and he met them a second Sunday night. And we're still meeting Sunday night. You understand? We're still meeting. That's right. We're still here. That's what he did. And the Jewish people stopped going to the synagogue and met on the first day of the week in the temple. Now, how can that happen? These are people that for their whole history has been the Sabbath. And all of a sudden, overnight, they're on the first day of the week. What on earth? Don't you scratch your head. What had to happen? Something hugely dramatic to get hundreds, thousands, ultimately, people to change just like that. Think of right now if we just said, we're going to change the day of worship for the believing believers, the church. We're going to change the day to Tuesday. And then we run an ad in USA Today Everyone, we're going to make, and we'll have the president make an announcement. He's good at that. We'll have him make an announcement. It's going to be on Tuesday. On Tuesday. Now, the whole world is going to just jump to that, right? They don't even care about that. They say, what are those kooks doing, right? Now, so, here we are looking. And what are you going to do? Well, is the world happy with this? Not at all. Over to Matthew chapter 27. Again. Matthew chapter 27. See, we could just say Easter and he rose again, but we could do that, but that assumes that you know all this other and it's fresh in your mind because, I mean, it's rather dynamic and awesome that his whole ministry had one thing they shot at. He's going to rise again. He's going to rise again the third day, and therefore Matthew 27, picking up, please, in verse 62. Now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate and saying, Sir, we remember that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away. And say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so that the last error will be worse than the first. In other words, the disciples will take him to sort of help God out, because he said he'd rise again. They're going to hide the body so that they won't know, and they'll think it was true. Verse 65, Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. A watch. A watch is a garrison, a guard, a group of soldiers. They were used to keep order in the city. The castle where they were is just north of the temple. Here's the temple and where they were stationed, right next door, if you look at a map, right next door. Here's the castle where all that Roman guards were, and they were there. I'm going to send a watch, and different ways, Josephus, all of them looking at it, and you're going to have what? At least 60 Roman soldiers and more Jews, etc. Are they going to be there? Put a watch. Pilate, put a watch there. So that they went, verse 66, and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. So they put a seal upon it and guarded it all night. They're going to guard the stone. Now, what do you know? Well, can the friends of Jesus, could the disciples come and take the body? No, the soldiers would have got him. Are the soldiers, are the Romans going to take the body? No, the Romans aren't going to take the body at all. They aren't going to take the body. Why not? Because they're going to die. If that body gets out of the tomb, and you know what's going to happen, don't you? They all die. If that body is missing, they die. That's all. That's pretty sobering to do your job. That's what they did. Now watch. Watch, having said that. Over, if you would, to Matthew chapter 28. And picking up, please, in verse 11. 28 and in verse 11. And in verse 28, chapter 28 of Matthew, verse 11. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch, we just read, the guard, came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. So they had a contingency of the Roman soldiers, their soldiers, were sent to tell the leader, listen, we don't know what happened. We were there and we somehow everything froze. And when we were awake, the stone was, they're gone. The stone was rolled away. Rolled, that'd be round. Rolled away and he's gone. He's gone. Now, then someone got to say it. Verse 11, at the end of the verse, and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. And if this come, and now that, if that's true, then they're going to die by Pontius Pilate. He's going to kill him. No, the chief priest and them say, hold it, we got a cover. We're going to pay you. Shut up. And we're going to go talk to the leadership to tell Pilate it's all right, because after all, we were the ones that wanted the guard. Verse 14, and it come to pass, and if this come to pass to the governor's ears, and you can be sure it did, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Now, are we going to talk about the Lord? No, no, we aren't going to talk about any of that. No, we're just going to try to, it's a cover-up. It's a cover-up, the burial. We're going to bury the burial. We're going to bury the whole thing. We don't want it out there. And now the trouble is, remember, the disciples aren't going to believe. They aren't going to believe. They have a problem. And so here are the Roman guards, and here's all the thing going on. And is anyone going to talk about it? No, we're going to quiet it. Because we already had three at two on the cross. And we aren't talking about it. And he rose early in the morning. And we got an empty tomb. And the only ones that are going to go are the disciples. The disciples will go, who cares? And they're going to go, remember, they're going to go after the Sabbath day, Saturday. Saturday ends at 6 p.m. Sunday begins at 6 p.m. on Saturday to 6 p.m. again. So any time after 6. So we're going to go on Sunday, the first day of the week, and we prepared spices to prepare the body properly. We didn't have time to do it. It was Passover. So now we're going to go and prepare the body with the spices that we bought. And in the process of doing that, we're there. And, well, hold your finger, why not? No, you don't have to hold your finger. Just take Mark, the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. Chapter 16. And in verse 9 and 16, Mark chapter 16, verse 9. And when Jesus was risen early in the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. That's the disciples. Where are you guys? Peter, James, John, where are you? Well, we're there. What can we tell you? He died. He got crucified. Cried. Wow. Verse 12. After that, verse 11. And they, when they had heard he was alive and had been seen of her, they believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And as they went, and behold, and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. They didn't believe. Verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11, the whole bunch of them, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Why? Because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. They already saw me, and they did. They came and told you didn't believe. No, they didn't believe. They didn't believe. That was the whole problem. No one believed. And the whole thing, the talk of the town a few hours ago, is now all gone. No more the talk of the town. The resurrection of Jesus Christ subdued. The 3 days down. The devil cannot afford the system, the world system in which we live, to be honoring God, God's saving grace, going to Calvary's cross and rising again the third day. The devil cannot honor that. We're going to have all kinds of Easter services across our country. But I'm afraid, I hope I'm dead wrong, most of them are going to talk. I know this from the past, unless things have changed and they haven't got any better. The different groups, people that do it, They don't believe that Jesus Christ literally, bodily, rose again from the grave. They do not believe that. It'll sound good to you. Test them. Well, we really don't believe that. But he really did. Watch. Go with me, please, over. Over to the Gospel of John. John chapter 20. John chapter 20, if I may. Would you please note? Oh, going in verse 4. So they ran, both together. The other disciple, that's the Apostle John, did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. John stuck his head in the door opening first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, and went he not in. He didn't go in. Then cometh Peter following behind, Simon Peter following him, and went in, and he went right through the with a rock, right into the tomb. And he seeth the linen clothes lie. Verse 7. And the napkin. Now, what's so? And remember now, if you read, as you read in your reading, the angels said to the people that came, they didn't go in, come see the place where he lay. Come see. What? Nobody. Someone. Hold it. And you know it's wow. Verse 7. And the napkin that was laid about his head, not lying with the linen clothes. Now remember, they had wrapped up our Lord in linen garments, tight. It's tight. How do you know that? When you have Lazarus step out, they had to loose him. Lazarus couldn't get out. Because he's tight, like a mummy. A mummy? Not your mummy. A mummy. You know. And here you are. And you're tight. And I tell you, you get wrapped up like that. The bad guys do that, don't they? They want to tie somebody up. Tie him up like that. He ain't going to do anything. He's tied up. You can't even move your hands. You're tied up. All tied up. Wow. You're stuck. That's right. Who's going to lose him? Nobody. And thus, now what else do we know about that wrapping? What did they do? They had a napkin or loop of linen cloth that went around, and you could understand that if you tie it up, so that it would tie, go across the top of the head, to hold the jaw up so the jaw didn't drop like it does. So it holds the jaw up. So here's the napkin holding the jaw, and here's all wrapped up, and that's how they live. Now guess what? When you go in, here's the cloth, and everything is there. The wrapping never has been unwrapped, never touched, and it just sort of dropped down. And the thing around the head, the napkin, the holding the jaw, was neatly put aside. Put aside. Now, how did the body get out of there? There is no body. What's so phenomenal about it? Houdini can't do that. Who's going to do it? No one's going to do it. The body is taken, gone, completely. And the rock wasn't even moved. Just gone. In 3 days, I will rise again. Now, you got that a little bit? I got to tell you, I'd be impressed. I am impressed. I don't know about you. It impresses me. I have to tell you, there's no one anywhere in all of forever like this. That's right. All right. Over if you would, please. Matthew chapter 12. And you will note, please, what he said. Come see the place. It's empty. Not just empty. I mean, when you look in here,
It is something else. Wow.
Just a bunch of linen cloth, neatly in the form of a human body, having dropped. And the napkin, the head gone, head taken off the head, and laid over here, neatly. Wow. And no one was in there. Just God. Now, chapter 12 of Matthew, a point. Lord, what did you tell him? Verse 38. Then certain of the scribes, 12 and 38 of John, excuse me, of Matthew. Matthew 12, 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it. Of all the different signs, of all the miracles, I'm only going to give one sign that will help you. All the rest, you're going to whitewash and won't mean anything. And he answered, verse 39, Evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall be no sign given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly, the great fish's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas when Jonah went through the city of Nineveh. Behold, a greater than Jonah is here. What is the only sign you're going to give him? Come see where he lay. Of all the different things, of all the wondrous things, very, very public, very public. Empty cross, empty tomb, empty wrappings, the condition of death. Death? What is death? It's the absence of life. God? You mean there's nothing in the wrapping? No, not a thing. Not a thing. No body. No body. No death. Take a look. No body, no death. That ought to impress somebody. The Gospel of John. Oh, chapter 11. John chapter 11. The Gospel of John and chapter 11. You remember our Lord told many things. I am the bread of life, the way of life, and the light of the world. And here upon the death of Lazarus, which we mentioned, here in chapter 11 of the Gospel of John, picking up please in verse 23. And they believed in a resurrection, a resurrection, the Jews, and then we'll see it tonight at 6 o'clock in that. Big resurrection and all over. But they didn't have it right at all. Neither do a whole lot of believers have it right. Got it all wrong. Oh, well. Verse 23, chapter 11. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, No, I got to help you. Got to help you some more. You're looking for a somewhere in hopefully never, never land. Someday, maybe something will happen. Someday. Somehow. Maybe. Forever. Who knows? And then you have all the different groups, you know, where there's complete annihilation and of the body. You're like a plant. You're like a bug. And you disappear. Oh, now, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I am, right now, resurrection and life. I am the resurrection and life. I want to know, Martha, Mary, if you believe. Do you believe that I am? Do you understand life and the resurrection are a person? If you have a relationship to me, your concept of resurrection will be greatly improved. Do you understand? Do you understand who I am? So your concept of the future will be immensely improved because you're looking at resurrection. You're looking at life. Watch. Verse 26, you know. And whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never, never, never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe that positively you will never die? Do you believe that? That's what I know. Not whether about Lazarus. Yeah, but Lazarus died. Hold it. You got to get death in order here. What do you mean Lazarus died? So he died physically. So what? What are you making a big deal for? Do you understand what life is? Life isn't in your flesh and blood. It isn't in your fingernails that you cut. Life is in person. Thus. You'll never die. John chapter 5. John 5, please. And 24. Now the world system is what? Bury this whole thing. And the best we have is a Christianity that keeps going downhill in its testimony and its message, so that Easter becomes what? I'm not even sure pretty soon that they'll bother with Easter eggs. Little Easter marshmallows. No? I'm not sure they'll bother with them anymore. It's true you get a buck for them, you know. And they're great for you. Energy. Nothing like yellow sugar chickadees or marshmallows, you know. Wow. Chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, most assuredly, amen, amen is the word. I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not, N-O-T, not come into condemnation, but on the other hand, contrary to all of that, is passed from death to life. He should not perish. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Everlasting life. He that receiveth him, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You got to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Mary, Martha, you understand? How are you going to handle death? How are you going to handle all of the things? Well, we're going to have a little thing. We're going to read the charts and look to the future. I am the future. And I tried to help you understand that. I told you, most assuredly, on the third day, I will rise again. So there's no question. No question what you do. You understand? So here you are going along. Listen, I'm the living and only God. Now trust me. But, no buts. No buts about it. Now, you pass from death unto life. You receive the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And we have the wonderful good news of the gospel. What is the gospel? You know, 1 Corinthians 15, 1, 2, 3, 4, the gospel, that Christ died according to what? 1 Corinthians 15, 3, 4. He died according to the Scriptures. He was buried according to the Scriptures. He rose again according to the Scriptures. That's the only Christ that can provide the good news, the gospel. How so? He took you to the cross, his death, for you. And when he arose, he gave you the life you needed. The death you needed to have, he gave you on cross. And the life you needed to have, he gave you when he rose again from the grave. And he made possible your life, so that you could live. I offer you the gift of life. How so? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm the only one. I put it all together. That's the good news. That's the gospel. Do you know what? That wonderful message. A Jesus, and we got a whole lot of stuff. Understand, Jesus is God. And he paid the price for your, he took you to the cross. The wages of sin is death. And God gave you, did you a favor. He pardoned you. We'll catch it tonight, maybe. He pardoned you and offered you life. And you know, it says in Deuteronomy 30, etc., God tells the Israelite, choose life. Choose life and blessing, not cursing and death. Choose life. Good news. But it's buried. And the one thing that should excite us in a troubled, troubling world is that you have life. How so? He rose again. The only sign I'm going to give the world. Well, the world would like some other sign. And the Antichrist is going to come along, isn't he? And you know all this from the evening of that. The Antichrist is going to come along and what? In the middle of the 3.5 years, he's going to die. He's going to get a deadly blow. And then he's going to rise again. A counterfeit, a substitute, is going to get the attention of the world when the true and only God, having proven over and over and over who he was, with all power and authority, is put down in a garbage can almost, thrown away. A Bible. So what? Huh? Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness and God that we could be together. Just to remind ourselves a little bit, Spirit of God, help us. To remind ourselves, God, what it's all about. It's all about life. It's all about you. God, thank you very much. God, deal with the people up and down the land, up and down the world, that many people will come to know you as their Lord and Savior, as your Lord, as their Lord and Savior. God, deal with us. We are certainly privileged and benefited to have your word, to be able to be together, to have assembled before you on this day, set apart to honor you, to allow you to be our God, and to yield and submit to your wonderful person. God, thank you very, very much. Help us, please. Spirit of God, thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Perhaps we could sing, please, 377. 377.